Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Today, Ricky and Pam join me for your listener questions, and we get some great discussions going about Tinkerbell gifts. We have a family headed down to Walt Disney World, and they have a 7-year-old daughter. They want to give some special little small trinkets or gifts from Tinkerbell throughout the trip, so we give some ideas there, and our chat really helped us out on this one. Kevin realized he's going to be there on Sunday, and it's Easter, and he wants to know what's happening at Walt Disney World for the holidays, so we give him some thoughts there. And we get a listener that's worried about having some FOMO because she's not going to be at Walt Disney World for the rest of 2024, but she is headed to Disneyland, and she's going to go on a Disney cruise. So we talk her through this and tell her that sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder. It really is true. This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, our show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure for no additional cost to you. And it really does help us out here on the podcast. So please swing by the website this week over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It's one extra click, and it really does help us out each and every time. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our Patreon supporters. It's just $5 a month, and it really does impact our bottom line. It really helps pay for the bandwidth, the hosting costs and all that stuff, the video support. If you could support us on Patreon, we'd really help it out. $5 a month is all it costs, and we give you a bonus podcast every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest, so we'd love to have you. Come on over, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2459 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a great week wherever this show finds you, as we are, well, for a lot of folks in that spring break week here in the week leading up to Easter. And hopefully you're just having a great time with friends and family and enjoying the spring weather. It's been a little bit wet here in the Midwest, but of course those, what do they say, the March showers? Now it's the April showers, April bring May showers. Flowers. I don't know. I mean, it's been wet around here, but we need the rain. So we are hanging in there. Baseball starting here in the next couple of days for Major League Baseball. So summer around the corner. And I know a lot of folks like me getting excited for those summer Disney adventures that are coming up quickly. So today, of course, it's Wednesday. Time to answer your listener questions, getting you ready for that next Disney trip. So joining me today from themouseforless.com and a Disney World After All.com, part two. It's back. It's come back to life. We have Ricky. Ricky, what's up? Happy Wednesday.
It is back from the dead. You are correct. Yes. Been having fun resurrecting the site for sure. So that's been good. And having fun, you know, just hanging out with everybody, talking with everybody about, you know, all the rumors and the news and everything. So, you know, come on along, enjoy the fun. I'm on all the socials. So, you know, we can have a conversation about all the interesting things that, Disney and Universal announced, because apparently there's some big announcement coming tomorrow from Universal. So I'm excited about that. I know you're not, Mike, but I know me and Pam are excited about this big announcement from Universal that's coming. So I think it's going to be epic.
I did hear rumors that they might abandon that Epic Universe park. They decided not a good idea. Sir. We're just going to, not a good idea. Not going to happen.
No, wrong. So, excited about finding out what they are going to be doing. It's been a lot of fun. I've been having a really good time. So that part's good.
What if they decide to change the name from Epic Universe to Average Universe? Just like they decided they went too big and decided, you know, it was like they we might have oversold it. We're just going to call it Average Universe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good with Epic, everything that I'm seeing. Still so, it is.
I think so.
Mediocre.
Yeah, no. I think that they've definitely had some meetings, and they thought, you know what, we're gonna just go with something a little more, with a little more oomph.
I got you. It does look pretty epic. I'll give you that. All right. Yes. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is going to be on an epic adventure herself next week. So we're glad she's here this week. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. I don't know if I said that, but short-term memory here. I'm like Dory. What's up, Pam? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Yes, we are doing some time in the world and then some time on a Royal Caribbean cruise where I'm just going to look out at the ocean and enjoy.
Yay.
Perfect place.
100 days, actually, for me today till I hit the fantasy. I can't wait either. Oh, nice. Not that I'm counting.
I know. There's nothing like a cruise. Like, there's something about just looking out at the water, I think, just seeing there. You get to sort of disconnect in a way on a cruise that you don't, you know, with all the other. There's no genie. There's no genie plus.
I mean, I'm excited to look at like O'Gills and those you know, trivia and stuff like that. But yeah, the water's cool too. I'm just excited to be on the ship. The one thing I missed on, and this is just me, I'm dumb, but I missed the deck four going all the way around on the Wish. I'm excited to just run. I love running on the ships.
I don't think
all
you're
going to
get that on Treasure the new ship either.
But I'm going to be on the Fantasy.
That part's nice.
And we get three sea days. Yeah, I love that. I get up early in the morning as the sun's rising, watch the sunrise, run around. Oh, man. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but that's this dude's cup of tea. All right, let's get to the first question of the day. And it comes from Cindy, and she's in Mississauga, Ontario. So I probably mispronounced that, but I apologize for that, Cindy. She says, hello, BOGP crew. First of all, I want to thank you all. It's been a year that I've been listening, and I am overjoyed that I came across your podcast. I absolutely love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy. My family, myself, my husband, and 7-year-old daughter is going to Walt Disney World in September. We have a 10-day trip planned, including 2 travel days and 5 park days. Here's my question. I'm thinking I may arrange to have Tinkerbell bring small gifts daily for my daughter. What types of gifts would or could Tinkerbell bring? Any suggestions you have would be greatly appreciated. Thank you all again for answering my questions. I always fangirl when I hear my questions on the show. With gratitude, Cindy. So first of all, this is a great question. Now, let me say something that I was talking to Scott on the Sunday night show this week. We actually called Scott. I told him, I'm like, dude, you're taking the week off. I'm calling you wherever you are during the show because we're going to do a man on the street live from your vacation because I'm going to pat you into the board and we're going to do this. It's going to be fun. He just happened to be at the BR Guest restaurant. So it was like the most meta thing ever. The BR Guest podcast calling the BR Guest restaurant while he was getting his gray stuff delivered, and we heard the waiter bring it out. It was pretty sweet. So you'll hear it tomorrow on the feed. It's at the very end of the show. Anyway, one of the things Scott brought up in passing, he probably didn't even mean to say it, but he said, we're talking about how long and how quickly time passes in our Disney fandom, that it's been like Be Our Guest restaurant's been around for quite a while at this point, right? And it was like all the new hotness. It's been a while since he's been there. And he said that as he was in there, he's kind of just taking it all in. And he was kind of surprised how many guests were just walking around the restaurant, just taking it all in, like looking in the, you know, the snowfall in the windows and going into the library and just like walking around and observing. And obviously, these were first time visitors to this restaurant. And we had this quick discussion and it really made me think. And I've been thinking about this all day. It's been 24 hours now since we had this call, is that a lot of times for all of us that are into this, and we listen to podcasts every day about Disney, we're into the blogs every day, you know, we're hardcore Disney fans. This is kind of our lifestyle thing. We love it and it's great. But we forget that probably 75% of the people at Walt Disney World, they're doing things for the very first time. You know, like this is their first experience with Slinky Dog Dash, or this is their first time maybe having a corn dog at Casey's. Or this is their first time riding Dumbo the Elephant. You know, we've done this many times. We get a kick out of it every time. But we got to remember those people around us. A lot of times that's our first time having that experience. And how cool was that when we had that experience? So I just, you know, I think sometimes we forget about it because it's our 78th time doing something. We love it. But I forget, you know, hey, that's not that person sitting next to me. This is their first time in the ABC commissary. And they're taking it all in. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I got to appreciate that. Not everybody has the same, you know, story as me, and they're on the same track as me. You know, I'm in there appreciating it, but I'm appreciating it in a way different way than the person at the other table. So that's just kind of an aside that I think it's kind of fun to think about. But let's talk about these gifts for Cindy. And Ricky, you're going to be on this truck here because Pam and I, we've been there, done that, you know, with our kids here in the past. But, you know, thank God we don't have to do this anymore because, you know, it was fun back in the day, but I'm glad that I don't have to, like, be this creative anymore because my creativity's kind of gone down the chute. But what would you think?
One of the things that I immediately thought of, and I know it can annoy some people, but maybe it's just something that stays at the resort or something, but even though that they have them in the parks, but I was thinking bubbles. You know, you don't have to get like the bubble wand that they, you know, that, that Disney has. You know, you can go get one at, you know, a Walmart or something like that. I've seen them that are Disney related at Walgreens, you know, things like that. So that's something. You know, I was thinking like sticker books, mm-hmm. Coloring books, that kind of thing. Even regular books, you know, are a really great option. Like the little golden books are such a great choice and easy to carry along. So those were like a couple of the like initial things that I was thinking of. It was just, you know, something along those lines. So,
yeah, I think those are solid choice. Those little golden books are solid because they become collector's items too, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, and I like what Becca said too, is the things that light up for fireworks and nighttime, which is also definitely a great option. So, you know, glow bracelets or light up necklaces or, you know, whatever along those lines is definitely a good choice as well. So, little bitty fans too. I've seen those. And that way, you know, the little one can stay cool with a fan all the time. Definitely want to get one that has like the foam, you know, blades instead of, you know, other kind of blades, plastic ones or things like that. But I feel like that's a decent choice as well. So especially one that maybe has a water mister to it because, you know, it does get hot. Did they say when they were traveling?
September, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still hot. So you definitely want the water mister for sure. So that's an option as well.
Back in the 70s when we traveled, they had metal fan blades. Pam and I, we made it through with all of our digits somehow. I don't know how we survived it all, but we did. I mean, we did. So Pam, what else did you remember from back? Those are all solid. I will say too, the dollar spot at Target is your friend for these kinds of things. And dollar stores and like Dollar Tree and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think autograph books is always good in the big pens. I think that that's something, you know, that Tink would bring on early in the trip to sort of get that news. I think any of the hats, whether it's the ears or the headbands or whatnot, is a good thing just because so many people have those, or even the bows. You know, there's so many decorated bows that you can get. I think that's a good thing. I think little like necklaces and rings and stuff like that are fun. I think it's just a thing, you know, to have fun with. And I think too, even having like some snacks and stuff too for the day, you know, those are good for adults and kids alike that get a little, when someone gets hangry, it's good to be able to pull out a thing of Goldfish crackers and that sort of staves everybody's hangriness off for a little bit. But yeah, things like that. The other thing I think are really cute is you see them a lot now in the parks. They have little straw sippers and things like that. I think that those are so fun and not that expensive. So,
but then it turns into a Stanley habit, which your 16-year-old ends up having to have later, and the Easter Bunny has to bring Stanleys, and it gets expensive, and it gets carried away, and it's sick.
Well, there's something new for the Easter Bunny to bring every
year. Yeah, but stop. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And let's see. So we have another suggestion here in the chat. Deanna, this is a great one. Character pajamas and swimsuits. I mean, easy to pack and practical. How about that? That's like a winter chicken dinner there. Thank you, Deanna.
For sure.
Absolutely. I love it. And those, like Becca said, those, you know, like glow bracelets and stuff.
Yeah.
And you get, what we've always said in the past too, is like, they're so cheap. You could bring enough that you could share them like with little kids around you too. Like at the parades, like if you're waiting for a parade or something, fireworks.
Oh yeah. That's a good
one. Other thing I thought of is some sunglasses. I feel like that would be really good. Yeah.
Smart.
Really good.
Kevin just got hit in the life. Oh, he didn't. Hang on. He's on Facebook. He said, just hit me. that we're going to be at Walt Disney World on Easter. So guess what? This Sunday, he's going to be at Walt Disney World. He says, any must-dos, Stacy? Oh, wait, we don't have Stacy here, but we do have Ricky and Pam.
We do.
So, Pam, what would you say? I mean, I would definitely try to find a deviled egg. That's my tradition. Somewhere. God, I guess homecoming. Easter. Homecoming. I'd have to go there if I could.
Yeah, I think, too. So, if you go to Epcot, they have sort of that look for the little egg hunt that they always do. And that's a cute thing. If you haven't seen the egg, the chocolate, or well, they're chocolate and food egg displays at the different resorts, check those out. The Monorail resorts are a good spot, and then you can also hit the Epcot resorts if you're in that area to see those. I mean, I'm gonna be there too. I'm doing brunch. I mean, that nice. Seems like a very Easter thing to do. So
does.
Doing some brunch.
Couple of other things at the Magic Kingdom right now, you can meet Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny, so that's a really good option. They're only out for a limited time every year, and they're actually out earlier than I usually think that they are, so yay for them being out. The other thing is, and I don't know if they're having it this year, they've had it in the past, but again, it's one of those things that it just sort of happens on Easter weekend, is the little cavalcade parade thing that they have for Easter at the Magic Kingdom. It's usually only on Saturday and Sunday, so but it's a really cute little parade, and it's never really announced or anything ahead of time. I mean, it literally is kind of like, guess what, we're doing the Easter parade, so you kind of got to be there and, you know that it's happening. But it's a fun little parade. I love the parade so much, so I wish that they advertised it more, because it's such a great little thing, but it is what it is.
I mean, that's what makes it special, though. It's like a hidden.
Yeah, but they advertise the little cavalcades that they do during the day all, you know, the other time. So, like, I wish that they would just advertise this one. Like, just put a little mention. Hey, we're doing the little parade today. So.
Ooh, Mr. Easter Bunny looks kind of smart with his little glasses.
He does.
He's like dapper.
He does. Yeah.
All right. Justin says, hey, everyone, I just became a Disney Premier Visa card holder. How do I maximize my rewards, and what are the most valuable? So I am actually a Premier or whatever member of this, the one where you got to pay the $99 annual fee. Because I'm cheap, but I also do the math.
True.
So I use this card for everything and just pay the balance every month. And it pays for my annual pass every year.
Yep.
And then some. Because, I mean, one of the things you get is a 6 month no interest financing for like big Disney vacations, like your cruise and stuff like that. So you could pay it off over time over 6 months with no interest. That's one of the perks if you can use that. But also you get accelerated more than the 1% bonuses on your rewards for Disney purchases. Sometimes, and it's also sometimes for like gas purchases. Sometimes they have groceries. You just got to look at the Disney Visa site. I don't know exactly what they are, because I use it for everything and just pay it off every month. But I mean, it can be, because I don't like look monthly what my rewards are. But then when it comes time to renew my annual pass, I just look at my balance and then bam, it usually covers it. But Ricky, do you have any thoughts on that?
That's the exact same thing I do. I use my card for literally everything. I pay bills with it, you know, if they allow me to use a credit card, then I do that. I pay for every meal, I pay for gas, I mean, everything goes on that card, and it's the only one that I have, so that that way I maximize my dollars. I use mine to pay off my annual pass most of the time, but sometimes I actually use it for paying, like for a resort stay or something like that. It just kind of depends on what is going on, but usually it's my annual pass. And you know, I just, that's what I use it for. I mean, that's kind of, I pay it off every single month to make sure that I get the most out of it. The other thing is I know that there are some special meet and greets that happen at the parks. There's one at Epcot that you can take part in. It's over by the Imagination Pavilion. And then do they still do the one with Darth Vader at Disney's Hollywood Studios? I want to say I've seen that's come back.
I think they do it at Disneyland.
I think that they brought it back at Disney's Hollywood Studios too. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm like, 85% sure that they brought it back. I thought I saw somebody post about it somewhat recently. So, you know, that there are a couple of things like that that you can take advantage of when you're in the parks. But other than that, you know, I just literally use it to, I use it for everything and then pay it off at the end of the month and then use it for my annual pass.
Rock on. Okay, next question. Would you go to Disneyland in June or October, Pam? Which one would you pick? This is one day at a time over on YouTube.
No, right. I think I would pick October, and I will tell you why. First of all, the weather in June isn't bad, but it also, Southern California has what they call June gloom. And that basically means that the weather patterns mean that it's going to be cloudy most of the time. And at some point during the day, those clouds will burn off, but the clouds don't always burn off. And so then that lends itself to... One of the things that it's most impactful for, and this is interesting because my family has encountered this a few times, is it makes the pictures not that great, right? If you want a really great picture of the castle, it's sort of hard to get it with the June gloom going on when you're there first thing in the morning. And I think that you're going to find good weather in October. You also are going to have the ability to go to some of the Halloween stuff that is going on out there. And that's definitely worth seeing. Oogie Boogie and whatnot. So check those out for sure.
Yep.
Do you have any? I agree.
Yeah, I was going to say October. You know, the Halloween activities that they have at Disneyland are so much fun. You know, the Oogie Boogie Bash, if you can get tickets for it, that's a great option as well. Everything I've seen about it looks like it just, it's so much fun. I haven't been in October. I've done the Christmas season and I've been in June.
I've been the 4th of July and it was awesome too.
Huh?
I've been the 4th of July and I like that too.
I agree with Pam, the June gloom. And actually it ended up being like cold a couple of days in June when I was there too. So, which that can happen at Disneyland anytime. Just keep that in mind. You may need to get a hoodie.
We wore sweatshirts every night in July. Exactly. I could not believe it. Like our pictures had sweatshirts on. It was glorious. I mean, compared to like, because I'm used to Walt Disney World where you just try to survive. You know, you're so hot.
But the other thing I was going to say is they do have some special overlays for Halloween as well. Of course, you have the Nightmare Before Christmas at Haunted Mansion.
Stop. I just got to say, I undersold that. We talked about that for years on here and I was like, boring. Like, I swear, every time you guys talked about that for like 15 years of this podcast, every time you would say about that, I'd just be like, dumb. And like in my mind, I'd just be like, who cares? And then I did it this past, like when I was out for the race, I'm like, and I'm like the movie. I've said this. That is the coolest thing ever. It's like, cool. It is a totally different attraction. It is wild. Totally it is so cool. Anyway, it's worth the trip.
It is. It's very cool. And then they also do a Guardians of the Galaxy. They'll do during the day, they have the regular, and then at night they have like a Halloween version as well, which is kind of cool. So there's a couple of reasons that I think you should choose October over June.
Good stuff. And GB Raps, I don't know if he's a rapper or if he maybe, I don't know. Instagram handles are always so interesting because it leaves you wondering. Like, I don't know. But he says
you should have a line to explain.
I know. You should be required to tell, like, why do you have that weird Instagram handle or interesting Instagram handle, I should say. But he's headed to Walt Disney World. He's actually there as the show releases. And he's looking for Scott because he's staying at Coronado Springs as well. And by the way, you need to come to our Discord channel because Scott is killing it on the Discord, giving updates multiple times a day, everything he's eaten, everywhere he's going. He posted a video this morning as we were recording here on Monday. He went to Kilimanjaro Safaris first thing in the morning at Animal Kingdom, and he got that lion roaring on Pride Rock.
That's always cool.
Oh, I mean, but then I was like, dude, I'm sitting here in my office like typing, and Scott is on Kilimanjaro Safaris with a lion roaring. I'm so jealous. But it was awesome to see. I'm happy for my buddy, but I'm still jealous. But anyway, he says Easter Bunny and his wife, I guess that's Mrs. Bunny, are meeting by Sleepy Hollow. That's their spot.
Yeah.
So I guess it's that spot where Tiana is sometimes. Maybe the old smoking area, I guess.
Yeah, it's like
a little gazebo.
Yeah, a little gazebo. Okay, so there we go. All right, so we appreciate that comment. Let's see here. Next thing is from, I guess it's Adele. She's one of my guests over at the Magic for Less, which I appreciate her so much. Over in Norway is where she's from. And she says, hello from Norway. Just came home from our first Disneyland trip and our first Disney Dream Cruise. And we managed 2.5 days at Walt Disney World, too. We should have done more Walt Disney World days. But I mean, Pam, isn't that always the case? But I mean, how epic is that? She came all the way over from Norway and got to do a little, kind of a little Whitman sampler of North America Disney.
Right? Agreed. Yeah. Like you sort of hit them all. I think that that's a fun thing, especially when you're coming over from another country to try to hit all of those things. But to get to do the cruise and Disneyland and Disney World, that's sort of an epic trip there. So you're going to have a lot of people jealous.
I agree. And there's always time to come back. You got to save up. You got to go back to work.
Leave something to come back to.
Exactly. And I believe Scotty G's headed your way over to Europe this summer is what I saw. So that's big. Nice. Okay. So we have a question here from Philip. My wife and I and our 4 kids, they're ages 1 to 12, are headed to Disneyland the week of July 4th. Okay, cool. It's our first time to Disneyland. We are doing both parks. We'll be doing 3 days between the two parks with park hopper tickets. We're planning to do Genie Plus as well. With that being said, what should we expect the week of the 4th of July at Disneyland crowd-wise? They're obviously must-dos, but anything that you've done that's a must. Okay, so we did 2022, 4th of July. We were there for a solid week with the Gardeners. We had park hopper tickets like you. We did 5 days. But we were staying at the Disneyland Hotel, so we were on site. And, I mean, with Genie Plus and park hopper, here's the deal. The crowds were not a problem because with Genie Plus and the park hopper, it doesn't, Pam, I mean, I don't even know if it was crowded because we were constantly just going around the crowds because with Genie Plus, you could always just pick your next attraction. I don't even know if it was crowded. It didn't feel crowded. I mean, it probably was because it was the 4th of July week, but we were constantly just riding stuff.
I think the Genie Plus and Disneyland, you know, it works really well. And I get it all the time when I go there, like every day we get it. And that's not necessarily the case when I'm at World. And I do go to World more than Land. But every time I'm at Disneyland, I do get it for those very reasons. Then we can, you know, just sort of pick our days and make sure that we see all the top attractions that we want to see at Disneyland. I think that some of the shows, they have some unique entertainment. So make sure that you build some time in for that. Maybe when you're waiting for something to happen, make sure you're looking at the entertainment. Of course, the fireworks at Disneyland, Fantasmic. It's going to come back. World of Color.
Yeah. And the thing is, sorry to interrupt, but Fantasmic for a Walt Disney World person, you might say, I've seen Fantasmic at the studios. It's probably cooler because you get a whole stadium at the studios. But dang, like, I'm just telling you, you get a pirate ship. I don't want to spoil it, but it's in your standing, and it's like up, it's like an up close and personal experience too at Disneyland. You got to see it. I mean, if you miss it, you're going to regret it. You got to see Fantasmic.
I agree. I will tell you, so as a frequent World visitor, the one area of Disneyland where I don't feel compelled to see every time we go or compelled to do all the attractions is Galaxy's Edge.
Yep, I knew that. 100%.
Almost exactly the same.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. The only time I've seen Galaxy's Edge in 3 trips out there, the only time I've been in there is when I ran through there in the race. That's the only time I've been in there.
Yeah, because you do get to see so much of the World. It's a place that you're frequently at or that we're frequently at. Now, the thing, of course, that will change that is, Season you know, the fireworks and all of that. So that are happening out there soon. So that's something, but I would just be there for the fireworks. And so I'll move on. But yeah, that's the one location where, that always works in my favor because the line to go see Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland every day is huge.
Yes.
So many people are heading there that we can knock out a bunch of other stuff in the morning or see things that I don't traditionally get to see. Like, I mean, you know, when you see people running to Galaxy's Edge, you can walk over and do Big Thunder and Pirates easily. So, I mean, it's something to think about when you're out there.
Yes, and please, please rope drop Fantasyland. Like, for somebody that's never been to Disneyland, rope drop Fantasyland. Because you're going to get a ton done. And there is something magical about Disneyland and Fantasyland at park opening. You'll see characters just walking around. You'll see the evil stepsisters riding the carousel. I mean, it is like, honest to God, it's like a Disneyland. It's like a Disney commercial for like the first couple of hours. It still blows my mind. Like being in Fantasyland from like the first couple of hours of park opening, it's like, oh my God, this is the wildest thing ever. Like, am I in a commercial? It's crazy.
Lines are so short in the morning.
And you come out of one attraction, you are literally like 10 feet away from the next attraction. You do not spend any time going to the next one.
You can knock out all the dark rides in like 20 minutes. I mean, truly.
Yeah, you can.
It is the best. And here's the other thing too, Ricky, and maybe back me up on this too. You're not so tied to like table service, like where we're going to eat, all that kind of stuff at Disneyland. You can really kind of snack your way or counter service yourself away around almost your entire trip. I mean, of course, you might want to have a table service restaurant reservation here and there, maybe one a day even, but it just doesn't feel like you're so planned at Disneyland.
No, it's true. And I feel like that's the case because there aren't as many table service dining establishments at Disneyland overall. Even when I've been there and was looking for a dining, a table service dining reservation, it was difficult to find because there are so few and a lot of people take them, you know, get them up. But B, there just aren't as many table service dining locations in the parks. Yeah, there's a number of them out at Downtown Disney District, but a lot of those are third party. Most of those are third party in the first place. So if you're looking for an actual like Disneyland restaurant, you're more likely to enjoy a counter service meal, and the counter service meals are really good out there too. So don't discount those. They're excellent, and their snacks are really good, obviously, out there too. So I mean, if you're not getting a corn dog from Little Red Wagon, you are doing it wrong. I'm just saying, you've done your vacation wrong at that point.
I mean, there's actually the corn dog is good too at the place in Frontierland, right around the corner. I always got to go by that petrified tree. I love the petrified tree, and it's right by there. Is it by the Golden Horseshoe? It's right around the corner from the Golden Horseshoe. What's that place called? Stagecoach.
Stagecoach. And the place in Downtown Disney is too.
Yep. Yep.
No,
yep.
They have pickle dogs. No.
Yes, they do. They have all kinds of dogs.
They're so good.
Veto. Veto the pickle dog. No, thank you.
No, don't do it.
I just love Disneyland. Like, I mean, when you're at the Disneyland Hotel, you're walking through Downtown Disney and then you're at two parks. Like, everything is so close. Oh, my goodness. It's so great. Okay, we got to stop. Thomas has a question. Thomas Burke, our good friend. Out, he's actually going to join us on the show, hopefully here very soon. He says, post-cruise in August, one night at a Walt Disney World Resort after the cruise before we fly home. Grand Floridian or the Polynesian? Not going to a park and trying to avoid construction interruptions if possible this August. So if he's looking to avoid any construction, it'd be the Grand, right?
The Polynesian construction is not impacting most of the guests there. The Grand construction has pretty much, wrapped up. They're doing a few things, but most of the Polynesian construction is going on in that one side of the resort. Like if you're looking at the Great Ceremonial House over to the left. So if you really don't want to see any construction at all, I guess the Grand would be there, but I think both of them have so many great pluses. And the other thing you're going to want to think about, especially in August, is that you're going to want to spend time in the pool. So think about which pool is more appealing to you. But I wouldn't hesitate to stay at either one of those resorts now.
Which pool? Volcano Pool gets the nod over the Grand Pool? I mean, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I say like as I've gotten, I don't know. I don't, since Hannah's not a young kid anymore, that main pool at the Grand, the big pool at the Grand is very appealing. And the seats are very plush there.
They are very plush. Yeah, the Grand.
That would be my plus. That would be my choice, but everyone has different, different important things to them.
Ricky, which pool? Feature pool, Poly or Grand?
I mean, I get Pam's desire for the lush chairs at the Grand Floridian. Those are definitely nice chairs. But if you're looking for a fun overall experience, I'm going to say in the Polynesian. I think that that's just going to be a little bit better for that. But I mean, if you're looking for like ultimate like spa relaxation pool sitting, I think then the Grand Floridian is your choice.
The Poly keeps the cruise experience kind of going on, keeps that vibe going. You can have the tropical drink. You can kind of sit there and look over the beach in the volcano pool because you can see the sand. You can see the castle. Mm-hmm. You can see Discovery Island there in the middle. Depends. And if you just kind of want to go fancy to ease your way back to reality, the Grand. You can't go wrong. My family, we're going straight to the airport. And this is what I tell people never, ever to do. But because of scheduling, we have to go right to the airport after our cruise. And this is going to be the biggest kick in the teeth. I'm already hating it. We're going down the day before, right? To spend the night because that's what you do. I don't want to miss the boat. I'm not going to miss the boat. And that drone show is perfect for what we're doing, right? Because we're not going to have theme park tickets. So we're going to go over to Disney Springs, watch the drone show the night before the cruise. That's perfect. But, oh my God, it's going to be a kick in the teeth. I hate that when you get back and you're parked where you started and you look out your veranda and you're back in the port and then we're going to get booted off the ship and you have the worst, you know, you get that sad breakfast, everybody's boo, and then you got to go to the airport and get on the airport. Oh my God, I'm already sad about July 13th. I know the date already. Oh my, stop. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it yet. By the way, the pickle dog's getting all kinds of love in the chat.
The pickle dog's fantastic, truly.
What is wrong with
Kevin
you
people? Kevin and Brandon love the pickle dog. Just saying.
It's so good.
My face is literally the green, you know, want to throw up face. That's the face. Like, no.
We appreciate that on an audio podcast that you're giving everybody this Wednesday morning reality check. All right, Eric Matterhorn, he's actually tuned in on Twitch. I love that we're everywhere. People are just tuned in all over the place. Says, pros and cons of upgrading a multi-day ticket to an annual pass in the middle of your trip. I would like the discounts, but not having to make reservations while my family has freedom to start in any park. Yeah, there's all kinds of variables with this nowadays because we, annual pass holders, still have to make theme park reservations daily, which during busy times could be a challenge. Like right now, this week is kind of a challenge, but people that are on packages right now are living the sweet life. I don't know about Zach and Cody, but they don't have to make any more theme park tickets or theme park reservations because with those packages with date-based tickets, that is a thing of the past. So Pam, what would you say to Eric's question? Pros and cons.
This is hard. It's really hard, actually. So I think that the fact that if you think you're going to come back and you want to, you know, you're going to use that annual pass upgrade, I always caution people because there was this point in time when people said if you were going to 8 days or more in the parks, you should upgrade. And that is very old thinking and outdated and could cost you some money because it's much, I mean, you need a much longer stay to make that annual pass worth it, especially when you consider, too, the discounts that they have had for annual pass member or pass holders aren't as great as they used to be. They're blocked out a lot of times on weekends, and the general public discount is a decent discount, too. So I caution people on that. But I do think if you're going, as long as you upgrade before you use the last final day of your ticket, then you're fine in that space to do that. So, I mean, I think of even the last day you could.
Yeah, but I haven't thought about like how that would impact. Like you'd have to make theme park reservations now because you'd have a different ticket. Well, I guess if you did it on your last day,
and your last day, that that's
trip.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, do so it then, the last day so that trip isn't impacted. But you would have. But that would be the challenge on your next trip if the family has different ticket media than you. Then you would be having to do that, that becomes
you'd have to make two separate. Yeah. I mean, in theory, you can should be able to do it all at once.
Right. Vanessa's got a question in the inbox. We are taking a we are taking a break from Walt Disney World in 2024. We've decided to take our four kids to Disneyland for the first time in July. We're also lucky enough to do a kid-free cruise in October this year. While I'm excited for these two new experiences, I'm also feeling like we are missing out on our annual Walt Disney World trip. We're already booked for our spring break trip for 2025. Thanks, Mike. So I know it's not too far away. Please help me with this FOMO, telling me your favorite Disneyland and Disney Cruise Line experiences. Thanks, Vanessa. She's in North Carolina, where the basketball teams are doing well this year, by the way. All right, so first of all, you're going to be okay. And thank you for your support too, Vanessa. I appreciate it so much. That's awesome. Don't feel the FOMO because you're going to Disneyland in July. And I think for the last 20 minutes of this show, we've gotten you amped up about how cool Disneyland is. You're going to have a blast. I mean, the thing is, what's going to be good is going to Disneyland and kind of not going to Walt Disney World this summer is going to get you jacked for when you go back to Walt Disney World. I think that's what it's about. I think that's why I've been so amped up about Disneyland is because while it was still kind of familiar when I got out there for the first time in 2022, and I've been out there two other times subsequently, it's familiar, but it was still, it wasn't what I've been doing like every 6 months, every 9 months, every year. And it was fresh and it wasn't just the old same old, same old. So when you stay away from something for just a little bit, it gets you jacked up to get that new experience again. So I think the FOMO is going to reignite your fire is what I say. So embrace the FOMO, embrace the time away from Walt Disney World and enjoy the cruise, enjoy Disneyland because you're still getting your Disney fix and you're getting it. And what I would argue right now, if I had to rank my excitement for, I love Disney Cruise Line, I love Disneyland, I love Walt Disney World, all for different reasons. But there's no one or the other that's better than the other. They're just different experiences. And you're going to love all three. So, Ricky, what would you say to Vanessa's little FOMO? I don't think she has anything to worry about.
No, absolutely. Kind of the nice part about, you know, no, yes, you have a trip booked for Walt Disney World. So, you know, that part's great. But the nice part about Disneyland and also Disney Cruise is it still gives you the Disney feels, but it gives you, like you said, totally different experiences. So at Disneyland, yeah, things will feel familiar, but totally different. And that's a really cool thing. With Disney Cruise Line, it's a whole other ball of wax. I mean, there is just something so special about a Disney cruise. It's so hard to put your finger on what it is. Matter of fact, I'm literally looking up Disney cruises as we speak to try to figure out how Brian and I can get on one at the end of the year, maybe. So, you know, like there's something so special about a Disney cruise that just makes it just, yes, it's a totally different experience. It's familiar in the sense of like, you get the Disney characters but there's this level of just incredibleness that it will make you not feel like you're missing out on anything because a Disney cruise is just that fabulous. So I think you're going to be fine. The great part, like Mike said, is yes, you'll have a trip for Walt Disney World, you know, already on the books. So you're good there. And, you know, I've done this a few times where I haven't gone to Walt Disney World because I go all the time now that my family lives down there. So it's a different experience for me, but I don't take necessarily vacations to Walt Disney World. It's been a long time since I've been down there for like a week. And maybe I need to go back to that. We always do the, like, you know, the 3-4 day weekends just quick so we can get in and, you know, see my family, do get some Disney time. And yeah, I kind of do miss the long vacations. And maybe that's what we end up doing this year. I don't know. I'm still thinking, but, you know, like I said, you're not going to miss out because Disneyland is so special and Disney cruises are so special that it's just going to feel magical either way. I promise. It's going to feel so great.
I agree. So Pam, final thought here for Vanessa. She doesn't have anything to worry about. She's actually, I think this, yeah, she's going to come out on the other side ahead.
I agree. I totally identify with this because when you plan something new or different, you're always like, but I love the other thing that I usually do so much, yep, that I, you know, that you're worried about that. But I think it really will just be a different fun experience, just as fun, if not more so. And like Mike said, I think there's that whole, because we, all three of us, none of us visit Disneyland as much as we do World, just because of where we are. And there is always something that feels a little like I don't quite have it figured out. And that sort of feels like makes me anxious, but it sort of feels really cool that I'm getting to experience something new. It's that sort of spirit of adventure, sort of, I think, that really is there when you're visiting Disneyland, just because we don't visit as much. And hopefully you encounter that too. You'll find so many little hidden, unexpected bits of magic there. And the cruise, the same thing. It's a different, but equally, if not more, awesome experience. So have a good time. Just enjoy.
And both of those experiences are a little bit more relaxing than Walt Disney World. Like they're a little 100%. Bit more chill. So I think you'll love it.
100%.
They're a lot Disney and a little bit more chill, both of them. So
yeah,
take it all in. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today's listener question show. You have questions, drop them in the inbox. It's Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. Just put the listener questions in the heading there and we'll get them right away here on the show. But here's the cool thing that I've been noticing over the past few weeks. Our listeners are helping each other out almost immediately with any kind of trip planning questions we have. We had a listener the other day that had she was making her ADRs the next day. And she had this beautiful spreadsheet color-coded with her plans for the trip, for an eight-day trip. And she wanted somebody to look it over and say, you know, help me with my ADRs. But I'm making them tomorrow morning. You know, kind of a last-minute thing. It was that afternoon. She threw them up in the Discord, and everybody started critiquing this, and it was like a fun game. And she came out of it like by 9 o'clock that night with just so many great suggestions for ADRs, and it was just so cool to see our community come together on the Discord channel. And everybody's just, you know, hey, have you thought about Chef Mickey's? Have you thought about Cinderella's Royal Table? Have you thought about going to Homecoming? Because this person likes that kind of food. It was so much fun. So come on over on the Discord. We have all kinds of live chat going on 24/7. And by the way, Scott's down at Walt Disney World, and he's updating this sucker with pictures and stories and all kinds of stuff constantly. So again, it's brguestpodcast.com/Discord. We'll see you over there. Also, don't forget our show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure for no cost to you. So check out all the details right now over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That really helps us out as well. Just go to brguestpodcast.com/Amazon, click through there. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys are the all-stars that make all these podcasts possible. Couldn't do it without you. So again, check us out at patreon.com/brguestpodcast, and you'll get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. We'd love to have you over there. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at brguestmike on all the socials. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs. Pam is at TMFLT Pam, but again, we're hanging out over on the Discord at brguestpodcast.com/Discord. And we'll have a live show this Sunday night. I know it is Easter, but I should be able to come to you live after eating all the ham and potatoes and about 12 deviled eggs, because my sister-in-law makes the best deviled eggs, and she'll be over there with them because she is not allowed into the house unless she brings the deviled eggs, and I've heard that she is bringing them, so it'll be good. I might even have one on the air with you Sunday night. So 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday talking about all the current Disney announcements. We're going to kind of give our thoughts on those, the Disney Destiny, Season of the Force at Disneyland. What else do we have? Drones at Disney Springs. We have all kinds of stuff. The Jabba the Hutt popcorn bucket. That deserves 5 minutes at least.
Stop.
What's that little guy's name? The guy that sits next to him that goes, yeah.
I think his name is Salacious.
Salacious is Crumb. Crumb.
Yeah, Salacious yes. B. Crumb.
Yeah. Salacious B. Crumb. They need a... Yeah. So he should be the sipper, right? I mean, right? Should he not be a sipper?
No, he's a little like... a little.
What could he be? He could be a salt pepper shaker or something. He's got to be like a... like what? Because you need salt with your popcorn. He needs to be like somebody sits next to him. I just came up with the greatest idea on the fly. You get the popcorn bucket with Jabba the Hutt, and Salacious Crumb is a little salt shaker that when you shake him, he goes, like he does in Return of the Jedi. Oh my gosh, I am so good. Dennis is in the live chat on Facebook. He's got to agree with me. That was the dumbest idea ever, but it's the best idea ever at the same time. Anyway, we're out of here. We'll be back on Friday. You too. We're going to have a good time. We love you guys. So until then, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.